WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Linda Kenyon. It's a big question for President-elect Trump's transition team.
Who could run the Department of Justice as Attorney General? Trump is expected to pick a loyalist after blasting prosecutions against him. Names mentioned include Matt Whitaker, who was acting AG during the first Trump term, and Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi, who backed Trump during his impeachments and legal fights. But even before a new attorney general takes over, the DOJ is already taking steps to end criminal cases against Trump. Special Counsel Jack Smith filed a motion to vacate remaining pretrial deadlines, which was granted. That gives the DOJ time to assess how to comply with its policy that prohibits prosecuting a sitting president.
CBS's Bradley Blackburn with that report. A bombing at a railway station in southwestern Pakistan has killed at least 24 people and wounded dozens more. The BBC's David Bamford has the story.
The explosion took place at Quetta train station in West Pakistan. The station's superintendent said it happened near a platform as the Jaffa Express, bound for Peshawar, was about to leave for its destination. A militant group, the Balochistan Liberation Army, said it carried out the bombing. Balochistan province has seen a recent surge in deadly attacks fueled by demands for independence and control over local resources. In October, the BLA also claimed a suicide bombing target a convoy carrying Chinese nationals near Karachi's international airport.
Police have arrested a man suspected of stabbing five people in downtown Seattle yesterday. They believe he may be the same person responsible for five other stabbings this week in the same Chinatown area of the city. KIRO's Sam Campbell reports.
Police say it's a total of 10 people stabbed, 9 men and 1 woman. 4 of those men are in critical condition. Deputy Chief Eric Barden calling this a random series of attacks.
This is a horrific tragedy, a mass casualty event.
Sam Campbell for CBS News, Seattle.
We have a car recall to tell you about.
Volkswagen is recalling more than 114,000 vehicles over an airbag issue. The German automaker says the driver's airbag inflator could explode. The propellant inside can degrade in high temperatures. Models affected include 2017 through 19 Beetles and certain Passats. Owners can get a free replacement.
CBS's Matt Piper. The Rockettes' Christmas Spectacular is opened at Radio City Music Hall. Emily King is a Rockette.
I really did always grow up wanting to be a Rockette. I was lucky enough to see the Spectacular for the first time when I was 14 years old. And once I saw that, it was a done deal.
The show first opened in 1933. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Donald Trump's victory was in large part due to voters in rural areas like here in Wisconsin. Mike Moen reports.
While other contributing factors are discussed, a rural expert says it's clear longstanding political sentiments in smaller towns haven't changed. As the results from Tuesday night are examined, political analysts cite Trump's gain with Latino voters. Colby College's Nick Jacobs, who has written about rural issues, says the campaign also regained some ground in rural America that it had lost in 2020. Jacobs says if the media or political strategists try to again understand why these areas still largely back Trump, they have to resist preconceived notions.
We're going to see it again with these diner interviews, is that prior to even being interviewed, rural people were put into this prefabricated box. And the truth is that voters in rural places and urban places, they're complicated.
But Jacob says Democrats should keep trying to produce local candidates who can relate to these voters, adding that having both parties find success in rural America is good for democracy. Jacob says his research, along with separate polling, has shown that rural and urban voters often agree on certain issues.
Concerns about corporate monopolies, freedom within sort of the marketplace, whether that's for healthcare or reproductive rights. There are very few major policy issues that divide the two.
The Biden administration's big policy achievements, the bipartisan infrastructure law and the Inflation Reduction Act, have paved the way for a lot of rural investment. But Jacob says many projects aren't shovel-ready yet, and aren't likely to move the needle with rural voters hesitant to embrace them. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, a high near 56. For tonight, rain and 49. Rain and 60 for your Sunday. Sunday night, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-40s. Mostly sunny, Veterans Day Monday with highs near 60 degrees. 53, mostly sunny Tuesday.
It's 39 at our studios.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll take a look back at the weekend happenings and talk about Veterans Day 2024. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
November 9th, 2024. If it's 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha on WAUK 540 AM and the Civic Media app. I'm your host, Don Brown, and we're coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here in the Radio Park Studios. I am honored to have one of Waukesha's favorite sons, Greg Bach, as my celebrity producer while the mighty Max Martinson is working on PBS Milwaukee's Letter to Santa. And best wishes to Max. You know, Greg, I'm really grateful for you being here, one, because I think you're awesome, but two, with all the work you're doing, the fact that you're coming in here on a Saturday to pitch in is greatly appreciated.
No, not a problem, my friend. It's always fun to be down here, especially in our beautiful Radio Park studios.
This is, I feel like Howard Stern or somebody like more famous.
Just keep it clean.
These modern, nothing like that. I just meant in terms of the all the great amenities here and the technology and just a professional setting, for studios.
Absolutely.
But, I got it. Hats off to Max. You know, it'd be different if he was missing work for a junket to Vegas, or he was losing his shirt and all the debauchery that comes with that, or sleeping off a bachelor party or something. But he is he's living the dream. He's working on this PBS Milwaukee's Letters to Santa.
Excellent.
I guess last week, Aiden West is a student coordinating that 50-year tradition.
Yeah.
51st year. And it's always been produced and broadcast by students. So it's really great to be able to talk about that last week and to see Max, playing a role in that. So best of luck to
him
today.
Yeah.
So now the, Halloween is over, but the spooky season has just begun. And it's not a reference to what happened with the election this week. It's more a reference to today's guest, my good friend, Josh Hughes of Waukesha Ghost Walks, who joins us via StreamYard. How are you, Josh?
Oh, I'm good. My one-year-old decided to stay up till midnight, so
I can tell.
Extra coffee this morning.
Sounds good. Excellent. Well, great. So, Josh is going to tell us a lot. He's been on the guests on the show before, and usually before Halloween, and but with everything we both had going on, it got pretty crowded. But again, the spooky season has really begun because Josh will be talking about some new offerings as well as some new projects he's working on with his craft, his specialty, his expertise in the paranormal. So we're looking forward to that discussion throughout the show today. We'll be acting locally, thinking globally with what I call a reason to believe. A little story on holiday season delivery theft, which has already begun, and it began right on my street. So we'll be talking a little bit about that today. Of course, it's Veterans Day weekend, so we'll be doing a salute to veterans, including some announcements on what's going on. A grand opening at Music Success. Greg, did you know Pat Nedersheim at all growing up in Waukesha? I met him through Rocker.
Oh, I did not know. I did not know him. No.
So, but he's the co-founder of Guitars for Vets.
Oh, nice. I've heard of that, though.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful mission that provides guitars and guitar lessons free to vets that are dealing with PTSD. Mm-hmm. But his new offering, Music Success, is it transcends that mission to not only include vets, but other first responders, as well as anybody that's dealing with PTSD or any type of mental health condition. And there's a store, a nonprofit store that sells, to raise money for it, that sells guitars secondhand and other musical equipment. It's a National Avenue, New Berlin, and what we now call the Burghardt's Plaza. You know, okay. Used to be where the Walmart is. So we'll be talking more about that. And then also the Operation Honor Salute to Heroes that takes place every year. It's taking place today at the Schutze Recreation Center. So a little more on that. And so much more. Oh, and then really looking forward to mark your calendars for Small Business Saturday. I always like to do a special show on that. And I'll be with the remote kit. I'll be there on site at a favorite location in downtown Waukesha to be announced. So. Okay. But the guest of honor, or the main event here, is my good friend Josh Hughes, who is also, you work in at Carroll University, correct? Right.
Yep, I got the Carroll hat on this morning.
There you go, go Pios! Yeah, they got, and of course, I forgot to mention, we'll be doing the Carroll Minute, a lot of sports activities, including a conference championship. The girls' soccer team will be participating in and hosting today at Schneider Stadium. Yeah. Following the football game, so it'll be a busy day on the campus there today.
I think they're doing an orange out, right?
An orange out, that's right.
I think it's like the first 100 students get a free orange T-shirt. So
there you go.
That's gonna be very exciting.
Oh, neat! So that'll be fun. We're sitting our nephews today. One of them's our godson, so maybe if I might be able to convince them to, because they're big sports fans. That takes place at 1 o'clock today, so that hopefully we'll have enough time to make that. So. Terrific. So, and how are you enjoying your life at Carroll? This is you're starting your second year. Do I have that correctly?
Yeah, I started just after Labor Day of 23. So I had my first full academic year.
Sure.
It's very exciting. So yeah, now it's kind of going into the second year with all that knowledge you learn.
Sure.
You know, the trading wheels are off, sort of say. Yeah. So it's been good. Yeah.
That's great. You know, and if I remember correctly, when we first met, you were working for an agency, and I worked with an agency in Chicago, and I know there's a lot of stress in the agency life. So you got to be digging the, especially with a 1-year-old, you got to be digging the university life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a 3-minute walk to work every day. Nice, fun projects, great team, supportive staff.
Now so, I'm really jealous. Yeah. Oh, that's terrific. But of course, we're here to talk about your great passion, which is the paranormal. And it was something kind of you inherited from your dad, too, if I remember. Is that correct?
Well,
or you kind of shared in it together?
It did start at a young age. You know, I grew up in Waukesha and experienced things in my childhood home that I couldn't quite explain, right? So the curiosity in me, I went down to the school library, started looking at books about ghosts, the paranormal, you know, weird things in the universe.
That's right, because the house you grew up in was old, had some paranormal activity, you believe, right?
Yeah, just weird things I couldn't quite explain. So, you know, I wanted to learn more about it. And then how I got involved, you know, jump ahead to when I was, I think, 32. My dad had been seeing something in Cutler Park showed me a photo of it. And then I got in touch with Mike, who owns American Ghost Walks. And I said, what's with the ghost girl in Cutler Park? And he's like, I really don't know, but we need a tour guide for Waukesha. Do you want to do it? So fast forward, and I just finished up my fourth season with Waukesha Ghost Walks. So
interesting
journey.
Now, fairness to Josh, I've seen that photo. It's a black and white, and I believe it to be authentic. And of course, I know me being Irish and into the whole the mystical type of things, I guess I'm more prone to believe those types of things. But it is, I mean, to dress somebody up like that in Victorian garb and just, you know, and throw it in the middle of the Cutler Park when there's obviously something else going on, nothing to do with history or anything like that.
Well, and you could say, like, hey, Josh, didn't your dad fake that or make it up? Or
yeah, trick photography.
I will tell you, he does not know how to turn on a computer. And whenever his phone connect to his truck's Bluetooth, I get a phone call. So not very tech savvy, so I can certainly say that it is authentic.
Wow, that's very cool. And so tell us again, for those who are getting to know you for the first time, what is a typical ghost walk like on the tour? And how do they participate?
I believe the website, it's either American Ghost Walks is the parent company. So if you're like, I don't want to check out Waukesha, but we've got Milwaukee, Chicago, all across the country. American Ghost Walks. You can find all the different.
Do you have one in Kenosha for Greg that he could check out?
I don't think so. There is Lake Geneva, which is kind of down in that area.
That could be cool.
I know that one was just featured on Discover Wisconsin.
Okay.
So they did a really nice program about that for the Halloween season. But
sure.
Waukesha, you know, I think it's about $20. We start down by Discount Liquor.
Okay.
And then we go, I believe that would be.
And the guests can procure packaged goods from Discount Liquor to start the tour, correct?
If you're going to, you can sneak it. I'm not going to be the guy getting you in trouble for it.
Sure.
But yeah.
That's usually, right. We do have open container laws. Yeah. So I stand. Don't want to
get. Not going to promote it. I'll say that much.
Fair enough. Yeah. So.
But people usually they get dinner downtown. They, you know, the tours start at 7, so you can get dinner and drinks with friends, and then we start down by the dam by Discount Liquor, and then go through downtown through Cutler Park, go over by the old courthouse, and then ends basically where we started. So it's a nice hour and a half, 2 hour tour depending how chatty everybody is. And it's a lot of history about Waukesha, but it's it focuses on the spooky stuff.
Sure, sure. Now, is it mostly groups that you do, or could individuals call you and say, "Hey, Josh, I'd love a tour. Can you, you know?"
Yeah, you know, if Don, if you called and said, "I want a private tour,"
okay,
you know, there is a minimum price.
Yeah.
But with that minimum, you can bring as many people as you want.
Okay.
And I have this past summer, I did 2 private tours for Girl Scout groups. So I had one that was about 12 girls, and one that was closer to 25. So,
yeah.
They really enjoyed it. They got into the stories quite a bit.
Sure, sure. That's neat. Now, in addition to the tours, which we'll get back to because Josh will be talking about a new offering, you also you do your own detective work, or you've done projects where you've investigated paranormal activity at different sites, not only here in Wisconsin, but around the world, right?
Yeah. So that's that's a whole segment in itself. But
sure.
You know, the past couple of years I've been focusing on Waukesha. I tell the stories, obviously, but now I've been starting to investigate the locations associated with the stories,
sure,
meeting the people that have lived the stories themselves. And that has really added a new flavor to the tour that you might not be able to get anywhere else.
Okay.
So it's, I've really become kind of like the expert in Waukesha's paranormal by being able to visit these spots.
Sure.
But yes, I have had paranormal groups when I went to UW Oshkosh.
Okay.
We investigated all across the Midwest, and then whenever I travel, you know, I've been to Savannah, I've been to Ireland a few times. I do like to visit the haunted locations there. And
sure.
I've had quite a few interesting experiences.
Yeah, we'll have a lot to talk about. Yeah, maybe as we get closer to St. Patrick's Day, we'll do a whole thing about paranormal in Ireland. We'll talk about fairy forts, which are very real.
Very real, yes.
And the fairies themselves. So, yeah, that's awesome. How are we doing on time, Greg?
We got a little over a minute left.
Sounds great. Well, yeah, we've got a lot to cover. In fact, for those of you Waukesha residents, maybe Greg would remember Little Lord Fauntleroy. Josh will have some. He'll be when we come back, we'll be talking about some more recent revelations on that, which may involve exhuming the body and some of the projects he's working on. And next, we'll be acting locally, thinking globally here on This Week in Waukesha on WAUK 540 AM. And download us on the Civic Media app if you haven't already, and take us with you anywhere you go, along with all the great Civic Media programming.
Share it out.
A new choice, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
There are some words that only get used in association with a phrase or another word. Nobody ever uses the word tribulation. You talk about the trials and tribulations. Another one would be vim. Nobody uses vim unless you're talking about vim and vigor. I'm going to make that list of words that you never hear unless it's in that particular phrase.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this. Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Hey, you're listening to This Week in Waukesha on WAUK, and as always, I begin the second segment with this little ditty from Waukesha's favorite son, Les Paul. I know I'll be using that a lot today, and I forgot to mention in my agenda items that another favorite son we'll be talking about is playing in a state final for soccer, so stick around for that. A neighborhood boy used to play youth soccer with my son, so looking forward to sharing that story. But yeah, going back to Les Paul, Greg, you might remember when Pat Kreitlow, and Greg produces the Up North News with Pat Kreitlow on Monday through Friday from 6 to 8. And Pat was he was in town in Milwaukee for an education conference, so he was doing this show in our old studio in Waukesha and invited me to come on as a guest for a few minutes. And that's where I first heard this song from Les Paul Mary Ford. And yeah. I was like, I just fell in love with it. And so I get a lot of props, a lot of inspiration and advice from Pat Kreitlow. And of course yourself, Greg, when I'm listening to that show, that's just fantastic stuff. And
thank you.
You know, and obviously I've been pretty outspoken about who I was, who I wanted to win this last election, and obviously Sharon, a lot of people's disappointment, and but I found some things along the way that give me a reason to believe, and one of them is this a post from Maxwell Taylor Kennedy, one of the sons of Robert F. Kennedy Sr. Yes, the brother of our next, what is that, Health and Human Services
the guy who's going to get us all healthy and stuff, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Something
he
like
loves
that, yeah.
Push-ups.
But Max, like the rest of his family members, were not supporting their brother in his effort, or who his brother ended up endorsing. But he put this great post in saying, it was the day after the election, I began reading an old book today that I had let lay around and found it both helpful and a welcome respite, Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds by Charles McKay. Mass hysteria and popular follies. There is something comforting in knowing that these things pass. My friend said with calm clarity, America has a way of figuring things out. She does, and she will. And in looking at, too, when you look at the election results in the state of Wisconsin, Trump's margin of victory, 31,352 votes, which is still very, very narrow by anyone's count. You have to remember Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate, got 12,141 votes. RFK Jr., whose name was still on the ballot, 17,598. So you have a total third party votes of 29,739, which gives you a margin of 1,613. And so, you know, there's again, I know Trump won by a very wide margin when you look at the popular vote, and you have to be respectful about that. I mean, it's and of course in the Electoral College too, no denying that. Mm-hmm. But when you look at where the other side could have won, I'd learned that there were seniors in assisted living that, including a. One of the school sisters of Notre Dame that wasn't being allowed to vote. A friend of mine had lobbied, and she went all the way to the top of the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. And, like, really,
they wouldn't let her vote?
Well, they said she wasn't in the right. She had a stroke, like, 6 months ago. But her mind, as you can imagine, like a lot of the school sisters of Notre Dame, was sharp as a tack.
Yeah.
And she'd actually been very, from her home in assisted living. As you know, the school sisters got kicked out of Elm Grove so that they could pave paradise and put up a big condo community, which big surprise to me in Elm Grove. But she, Sister Kathy, wasn't allowed to vote because she wasn't in the best condition. And her power of attorney from the Archdiocese had contacted my friend, Mary Jane Sanchez, by the way, of Waukesha. Mm-hmm.
and said that, yes, I, you know, she's not, it's my decision and she's not in the right condition. And when Mary Jane went to vote, she met an attorney for La Casa Frontera, which I guess is a local human rights organization. And
yes,
Mary Jane shared the story and she said, yeah, that's shyster poopy. That's, you need two attorney or two doctors to weigh in on whether or not she, so she called this right power of attorney at the Archdiocese. And next thing you know, Mary Jane gets a call from this woman at the Archdiocese. You can pick up your friend and take her to vote today. Like really kind of short. Say, yeah, it's okay. You know, like she gave approval, you know, but this attorney from La Casa Frontera read her the Riot Act.
Yeah.
And said, you can't do that.
I don't care who you vote for, friends. You don't suppress someone's vote.
Well, yeah.
I don't care at all.
And that, you look at the senior community.
Especially
a
nun.
And, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and Trump might've won the senior community too. So, but the fact that people were not, you know, like, and that's something I guess we need to think about moving forward is what arrangements are we making for the elderly, for the disabled, about, you know, giving them access to voting. That's important, yeah. No matter who's running. And so I think they're perhaps a missed opportunity moving forward. And again, I don't want to trash third party voters. In fact, like Pat Kreitlow on his show had talked about the problem with third parties is that someone runs at a national level, like for president, and then they join forces with some fledgling party or they create their own party. And there's just not enough grassroots to support that.
Yeah.
And it died. But what if you were to start one at a local level, especially in a state like Wisconsin, which obviously has played a key role in deciding the last three elections. And like I used to talk about my good friend, Scott Allen, who's, you know, a very conservative Republican state rep. We don't believe in a lot of things, but we, you know, there are some things we share. And we used to talk about forming like a common sense party where you're actually aligning people from both sides of the equation and you're coming up with solutions and the art of compromise and let's move forward. I think of that that West Wing episode.
Which one? There are a lot of them.
The one where they wanted Glenn Close on she was a liberal judge and they wanted her.
Season 5, The Supremes. That's a great episode.
And, yeah, and they convince a sitting judge to retire, played by Milo O'Shea, great Irish actor, and then giving the Republicans their guy, which is was played by William Fichtner, this conservative, you know, justice.
Mm-hmm.
And when the two meet at the White House, Glenn Close and William Fichtner, from my hometown, by the way, the discussion between them, the debate is very intellectual and it's respectful and it's civil and it's just, and all these ideas emanating from
it. Hey, Don, I hate to stop you right there.
Yeah, no.
That would never happen in real life.
But you look at that scenario, though, it's like a win-win.
Yeah,
I understand. And both sides can spike the ball.
Yeah.
And like that's how it should work, though. And I think there's still opportunities for that to work.
I think a lot of people talk about that and say that's how it should work.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we have to do a lot of reckoning with our own feelings before we can get there. So
we sure do. You know, in the U.S., remember, 35-37% of the, you know, eligible population did not vote or could not vote, or if you want to say, U.S. ranks 31st among democratic nations in national election turnout. So I think there's a lot of possibilities. There's also a lot of talk about getting rid of the Electoral College, which I'm not against. And again, it wouldn't have affected this election, but I think we don't live in the days where everyone in Georgia is a cotton farmer and everybody in the North is a factory worker. It's like we've become so diversified as a society that I just don't think this the Electoral College is necessary. I love the idea of ranked elections, too.
Okay.
Which we can talk more about. I don't know if you have any familiarity or experience with that, but
I
think that's a great idea. And also, too, how much are we doing on time here?
We have 1 minute left,
Don. All right. Well, ask me about Rules for Radicals when we come back from the grave, and we'll continue our conversation with Josh Hughes from Waukesha Ghost Walks and this very spooky episode of This Week in Waukesha, WUK, 540 AM, and the Civic Media app.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The president-elect is focusing on filling his cabinet, but that's not the only thing on his plate. CBS's Willie James Inman reports.
While President-elect Trump is working on putting together his White House team, Justice Department officials announced charges in connection to an Iranian plot to assassinate the president-elect and other Americans living in the U.S.
Three people have been charged in the plot. A bombing at a railway station in southwestern Pakistan has killed at least 24 people and wounded dozens more.
A militant group, the Balochistan Liberation Army, said it carried out the bombing. Balochistan province has seen a recent surge in deadly attacks fueled by demands for independence and control over local resources.
The BBC's David Bamford. Tony Todd, the actor who played the killer in the Candyman film franchise, has died at his home in California. His death confirmed by his manager. Tony Todd was 69. CBS News Brief. I'm Lindy Kenyon.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks lose to the Knicks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks got into New York City late Thursday night after winning at home against the Jazz. They lost last night to the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. The final, 116-94. Damian Lillard now on falling to just 2 wins and 7 losses so far this season.
You know, when you're in the type of situation we've been in, losing games and trying to find yourself and find identity and get going in the right direction, I think everybody's frustrated. You know, you don't want guys in here happy, not experiencing that when you lose losing games, but it's, like I said, it's frustrating. I think we gotta understand what we're doing and what it looks like when we're having success. You know, that starts with just, you know, simply competing, playing hard. And a lot of the games that we've struggled in, teams are just getting to loose balls more than us. They get into the glass more than us. They playing at a little bit faster pace than we are. That's giving them an advantage and putting us behind in these games. You know, we just gotta be much better about that.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, a high near 56. For tonight, rain and 49. Rain and 60 for your Sunday. Sunday night, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-40s. Mostly sunny, Veterans Day Monday with highs near 60 degrees. 53, mostly sunny Tuesday.
It's 39 at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else.
Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on the second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
This is producer Greg, and Pat's on vacation all next week, but don't worry, we got special guest hosts Todd Alba, Matt Rothschild, and Luke Mathers. Don't miss it.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
We're going to let this one play a little bit, Greg, if that's all right with you.
I'm cool. Cool. The lyrics are amazing, Don.
They sure are. Just, he was Peter Garrett. Is that his name? The lead singer. He was. He was a legislator. I think might have even been like the prime minister at one point of Australia.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was very involved politically.
Yeah.
White man came. That's the Dead Heart by Midnight Oil. So listen it out. Listen when you get a chance. Put it on YouTube. Great song. Great band. Midnight Oil from the '80s.
Yeah.
All the way back to the like college days. So. So we're back this week in Waukesha. My guest is Josh Hughes. We're going to talk about Waukesha Ghost Walks. But one final comment on acting locally, thinking globally is before we went to break, I was talking about Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky. You ever read that one, Greg?
I have not, no.
It is a primer for organizing. Mm. And I mention this because in 2008, when Barack Obama had won, and there was kind of this you know, I guess, blue revolution, whatever you want to call it, progressive revolution. They talked about a post-racial era. And, you know, the right were looking for an answer because, you know, Obama had actually he'd won by a sizable margin that the Democrats had, I think, at the time had taken the majority in the Congress in both houses and, you know, great opportunities. And the right in their response, somebody in their, I guess, brain trust had come across this Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky, who was obviously mm-hmm. a liberal, radical, what should we call him, philosopher, if you will. University of Chicago, I think, was his base. And I've read it. It's an excellent book. It's only about 100 pages. Mm-hmm. And it's all about organizing, local organizing.
Yeah.
And it became the primer, it became the playbook for the right that was very effective in helping them take back the House, I think, in those midterm elections, you know, and I think this was in 2010.
Yeah.
As well as a lot of other success and led to, I think, I guess we'd call it the Trump Revolution, if you will. But, you know, a couple takeaways there is, you know, everybody should read that book if they're interested in organizing or having more influence politically and locally. And the fact that someone from the right found this and said, hey, this works for us. It makes you think twice for any of those that are in favor of like book bans from libraries or schools that, you know, you can learn something from your quote unquote enemy or opponent or from other cultures that can have some really great implications for what you're trying to achieve, especially locally or in this case, nationally as well. So final thoughts on that. But Josh Hughes, thanks for your patience. I think you had another guest with you there for a second in the StreamYard. Is that was your baby?
Yeah, mommy had to do a couple of things quick during the break, so like I'll take her, and if you
sure.
need a little bit just longer, she can sit on the first segment here. So
there you go.
Yeah,
sounds
she
great.
Decided staying up till midnight, and then waking up at 7 was enough sleep. So
I remember those days, and I always made sure there was good programming or something on when I got up in the middle of the night, so that I'd have something to enjoy while the baby was keeping me awake. So I found too is, well, she's past the infant stage now, but I remember when my oldest son was born, his mom had this big bassinet and he couldn't sleep. It was like, you know, sleeping in a huge box. I mean, it just didn't feel.
Yeah.
And I grabbed the car seat and put him in that and buckled him up and all that. And, you know, and bundled him up and, he slept through the night. And we did that until he got bigger, but that was always a great, I'm sure you've heard different things. Once they reach 12 pounds, they sleep through the night, and I've heard all these different. So it's never the same.
She's actually been quite good. Like I said, she's almost a year, and I think from like the second week, she sleeps pretty much 7 p.m. to 7 a.m.
Sure. That sounds amazing.
It has been. So I'm sorry, people are trying to like stab me through the street yard here, but. She's been a very good sleeper, except when she's like learning that new skill or whatever it may be. She goes through a sleep regression, and then it's like, wow, people experience this the entire first year. So we're very, very lucky.
Sounds great. So now returning to our conversation, now would be a good time if it's okay with you, because I want to kind of tease people with your new offering and make them wait.
Yeah, but
I don't want to wait to hear about what's going on with Little Lord Fauntleroy. And give us a background on that first for those who aren't familiar. like transplants like myself to Waukesha.
So I believe it was 1921. There was a little boy that was found in the quarry, which if you're familiar with Waukesha, there's those two big quarries right by the airport. This little boy's body was found in the quarry. They pull him out.
Murdered too, they believe, right?
Well, yeah. So they pulled him out. They thought he drowned, but when they looked at the body closer, it looked like he actually had been murdered. The back of his head was bashed in and he was thrown in the quarry as like a disposal, right? So what's interesting about this boy that they found on that day is that to this day, we still have no idea who he is. They nicknamed him Little Lord Fauntleroy because at the time there was a very popular child series and the main character was this little lord. And they named this boy this because he was in very, very nice clothing as if he was like from a wealthy family.
Oh, when they found him.
Or maybe going to. When they found him, yes. Wow. Very, very nice
clothing. I forgot about that part.
So what they did is, you know, before what social media, TV, all that sort of stuff, they actually propped this boy's body up in the front window of a funeral home downtown Waukesha. And they said, anybody that might think they know who he is, come by, take a look and see if you know him. So essentially, you just had gawkers and looky-loos coming by to see a dead body, right? And
kind of like the movie Unforgiven, but not, without the sign.
It's a very different time, right? You can imagine
going
downtown Waukesha just to see a dead body. But a local woman actually raised enough money to give him a new suit, a coffin, and a tombstone, and he's buried up in Prairie Home Cemetery, very small grave that just says unknown boy found in quarry. So
if you ever go on the cemetery tour, which I highly recommend, I'm on the cemetery commission. It's a great tour of the cemetery. Just so much Waukesha history captured there. And back in the day, they used to have picnics there, I think like a Memorial Day or whatever. Right. So it was a very much a focal center of the community for many years.
Very much so.
Governor Dreyfus is buried there. Les Paul, of course.
Yeah, and almost everybody associated with the story.
And your doctor veteran friend, too, who we'll get to later in the segment.
Yep.
So, but that's exciting about Little Lord Fauntleroy because kids, people still come. They put little toys on his headstone.
Yeah.
And, and like I said, and I've even kind of made a little tribute of my own relating to, you know, my own a family member of mine who had died young that since I can't always fly back home. That on the day of is my brother's death, I'll go to Little Lord Fauntleroy and I'll put like a little toy there. And so, but what's the new, you said there's some new revelations or new information has come forward.
Right. So I don't know. Sometimes I just kind of get the history bug and I really start diving deep into these stories. And you know, on my tour, people ask, why haven't they dug this boy up? You know, why aren't we further analyzing this? And I, you know, I just say like, I assume the city just doesn't want to, right?
Yeah.
And
there's a cost associated with it. That's rather extravagant, I've been told. Anytime a body's
exhumed. So I just say, you know, it's better to let the dead rest. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I just reached out to the Waukesha County Medical Examiner.
Mm.
And I said, hey, I do this tour and there's always this question about why haven't we dug up this boy and used, you know, our technology of 2024 to do DNA testing.
I apologize. There has been paranormal activity associated with the grave there, right? Or there in Prairie Home, right? Where they think Little Lord, people have seen at night, Little Lord Fauntleroy running around or something like that.
People have said that they've seen a little boy in the cemetery. I personally haven't experienced anything. I've been there a number of times and used my gadgets to try to communicate, but I haven't had any experiences.
Okay.
But there is a growing interest to figure out who this boy is. And basically the medical examiner said, we've disinterred bodies before to figure out who they are using DNA. Mm-hmm. And she says, quote, we are currently working on this investigation and it is likely the disinterment will be planned at a later date.
Okay. That's encouraging then.
And so that, you know, as a historian and a filmmaker, you can see how excited I get from that response. So I basically said, hey, you know, if you are going to be doing this, this needs to be filmed or documented. You know, it could be a documentary.
So you're planting the seeds.
I said, who do I talk to so I don't miss this huge moment in Waukesha's history? So She did say that the public safety officer or the Waukesha public information officer will be reaching out sometime this week. So
okay,
that's very exciting for me as a Waukesha resident, as a paranormal investigator, as a historian, as a filmmaker. Everything is kind of colliding into the perfect moment.
Yeah. Hey, and speaking of history, I just want to take a quick pause, Josh. We discovered, again, one of the things I get from Up North News is there's a lot of history references, what happened. And this week is the 53rd anniversary of the launch of one of the greatest rock and roll albums of all time, Led Zeppelin IV. And some people call it the Zoso album or the Black Dog album because that's the first song in the album. But it's... I even gave Greg license to pick. There's so many. Every great song. Every song in that album is a great song. There's no losers. Like, even the, like, isn't the Battle of Evermore on that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. You know,
and people will say, like, you got to play Stairway to Heaven. You got to play. No, I play When the Levee Breaks because I get to do what I want to do.
And this song reminds me of one of my favorite scenes in the movie Argo.
Yeah.
When the guys are all hiding out in the Canadian embassy and they find out, or Canadian consul, and they find out that they're leaving the next day and they break out the whiskey and they start playing this song, and it's just so it's a really powerful moment. That's a great When the Levee Breaks.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll have to have a Led Zeppelin dedicated show sometime here, like maybe in the slower times of February or something like that. So, but anyway, back with Josh Hughes. You mentioned as a filmmaker, you are working on a film, correct? Or there's something on the, and is it in Ireland or what? I forgot. I think check my notes again.
Yeah, so I had mentioned I'd been to Ireland, and I had a paranormal experience at the Hellfire Club. If you're familiar with that location outside of Dublin, it's this like 350-year-old structure that a bunch of guys built on the hill so they could go there, play poker, drink, you know.
It's called the Hellfire what?
Hellfire Club.
Club. Okay. That's okay.
Right. So it's just a gentleman's club, right?
Mm.
Well, not okay. In modern day context of a gentleman's club, but you know, they would go there and they would have their fun. But there's a story that they believe that one night, a rainy night, this traveler comes to play poker with the gang. And the story says that it was the devil himself, that he visited this club.
Now,
and ever since then, very bad things have happened there.
Yeah.
So
is it a traveler in the sense of like Irish travelers or just somebody traveling? Because that's significant here.
I would say, I wouldn't say that I don't know the specifics on that, but just like an Irish traveler, like just somebody who nobody knew.
Sure.
Came and knocked on the door.
Okay.
And they invited him in. And then, people were dying after that.
So
the club burned. It's made of stone. So the whole thing is still there, but there's no doors. There's no windows. It's pretty much just this big rock on the hill.
Wow.
I had a very moving experience there that led me to, develop a documentary project about castles, stone structures, all throughout Ireland where people still experience paranormal activity.
Okay.
Even though it's not a traditional building because there's no walls, there's no doors. It almost seems like you shouldn't be experiencing ghosts in places that don't feel like they're actual buildings still, you know?
Okay. Sounds good. And how are we doing on time here, Greg?
Got a little over a minute.
Okay. So we're going to build this because we want to give you time to explain your experience if you're willing to, like what you experienced there. And then also, too, I want to do just a little deeper dive into the trip, because if it is an Irish traveler, that makes the story more significant. And for any Peaky Blinders fans out there, you'll see where I'm going with this. And so much more here on this beautiful Saturday morning, November 9th, Veterans Day weekend. This Week in Waukesha continues on WUK 540 AM and the Civic Media app.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that.
It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know, now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Hey, we're back on This Week in Waukesha, and these will not be forgotten years. Another great Midnight Oil hit. And speaking of not be forgotten years, a fellow passionista of history, Josh Hughes from Waukesha Ghost Walk, is my guest. And I think we're very much kindred spirit in that way, that we do have a passion for history. And I'm intrigued by this. I want to just kind of wrap up this conversation about the, God, I forgot, what's the name of the club outside of Dublin where you had a paranormal experience?
Yeah, so during the break, I looked up a bit more specific information about the Hellfire Club.
Hellfire Club, what a great name. Doesn't sound like a gentleman's club name.
Well, in a way. It was built in the 1730s, and I guess the original person that built it, there was a nearby graveyard, and he took one of the headstones and put it on his fireplace. And that's when they say, like, the spirits that he disturbed started wreaking havoc on this building that he had built. And the reason it's called the Hellfire Club is a number of years later, after this gentleman had passed, there was this Irish Hellfire Club that was known for dabbling in black magic. So they would go there. They would have big parties, alcohol, sex, all that sort of stuff. And the story goes that one night,
that kind of gentleman club, comes,
okay. Right? this stranger shows up to play cards, and one of the gentlemen at the table drops a card, and as he goes to pick it up, he looks under the table and he sees that this stranger has hooves for feet. Nice. So they believed that this person that showed up was the devil. So
wow.
After that, I mean, a lot of people just had a lot of misfortune. And they essentially abandoned the club because they believed that it was cursed by evil spirits or even the devil himself. Sure. So very interesting stories and history to it.
Yeah. So now the reason, so I mentioned distinguishing what was meant by the traveler. So Irish travelers is now the politically correct term for Irish gypsies, or what when my grandmother was living there was called tinkers. Now I can say that here in America, but over there it's kind of like using the N-word or some sort of racist or some other slant, you know, it's just not really appropriate.
Right.
But they were kind of, you know, considered the dregs. They weren't treated very well. And there was always kind of this real, you know, clash between the Irish travelers and the rest of Irish society, because they didn't own any land. They just squatted or they moved, you know, from one place to another. And for any fans of the show Peaky Blinders, which I loved, the Shelby family, which was a real family that started the Peaky Blinders, that they were descended from these Irish travelers. And they're in England, too. They're in America, as we know. And just interesting group of people. You know, we talk about, I'm sure, a lot of paranormal studies that take place around the Irish travelers. And again, because of, and maybe this person entered, maybe they knew he was this, you know, T word coming in. And because maybe he had money or they wanted to take his money, they decided they, you know, it's a game of cards you'll play with anybody within reason.
Right.
Or like I said, maybe it was this strange person just traveling through that they'd never met before. And turns out with hooves on his feet was the devil. So
yeah, who knows, right?
It'd be interesting to, if there's any more, you know, light shed on that, that would be interesting to know, especially again, given the prejudices, if you will, or that respectable society had for the travelers. So, but
right.
Now you said you had an experience there when you were at the site of the old Hellfire Club. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is, it's on a big hill, about a half hour outside of Dublin. And there's an easy route that takes about 10 minutes to walk up a very large hill to get to it.
Right.
Or there is an hour winding path to get up to it. So it's very similar to a state park here in Wisconsin.
Okay.
So we took the hard route, which was very difficult. And I dragged my wife up this hill on a Monday afternoon. So we get up there and it just kind of like, as you just come over the peak, you just see this big, disgusting looking stone building. And it is quite marvelous once you look at it. And nobody was there, you know, Monday afternoon.
Right. Daytime.
During the day. And as we walk in, you just hear like this disgusting, like, it was a bird, but it was just like this roar almost came out of the building.
Get out. Like a banshee.
There must have been this bird in the old fireplace, and yeah. It was echoing, and we were maybe not even four steps within the building, and my wife's like, I'm out of here, I'm done with this, so she waits outside.
Yeah.
And you know, the basement is flooded, and the walls are gross, and the stairs aren't very safe, and as I'm exploring and looking about, I decide it's about time to leave. I'm not feeling easy in here anymore, and it was almost if like something was like pushing me back into the building, and it was like, you're not leaving. It was a very, very bizarre feeling. Wow. And experience. And if you've ever been in a haunted building, I know you've said there's some stories about the radio station.
That's right. Yeah. I'll have to ask Greg if he's had any.
Paranormal energies can give you that sensation. So
yeah,
it just really was perplexing why I was there alone on a Monday in the middle of the day, why I was, you know, feeling these sensations. And then, as we're outside the grounds exploring further, a huge rainbow from east to west across the sky directly over the Hellfire Club. So it was probably the most Irish thing you could experience. It's just marvelous, gigantic rainbow at this place that I just had this very bizarre experience at. So it was a very interesting encounter, I'll say.
Okay. Interesting. So, and I'm excited because we have a good list of other items you experienced or are involved in projects, films. So, yeah, we got a lot. And then, of course, the launch of your new haunted pub crawl. We're going to talk about that. Yes. In the next hour and so much more. And, you know, I don't know if you ever heard this. Supposedly when a person dies, that you lose like an eighth of an ounce of body weight. And that supposedly there's no like scientific explanation for that. Is that something you believe?
That's one I have not heard before.
Okay. So, but I just figured it's because of your belief in, you know, I guess you'd say spirituality and the paranormal, that it's not something you would easily dismiss either.
Right.
So terrific. And, yeah, now that you're working for Carol too, I know, there was a murder that took place at Carol and some paranormal activity surrounding that. And, they'd kind of frowned on that kind of exposure, even though it was a long time ago. Now that you work there, you think, are they warming up to the idea, or you're kind of worried about keeping your job? Fair enough. Apologies, I asked that. He wasn't expecting that question. If anyone from Carol's listening, so you're in the clear.
My team knows I love this. They see me as the resident ghost expert, but
nice.
I keep the stories contained, not to attract bad attention.
Sounds great. Well, we're going to learn more about what Josh Hughes of Waukesha Ghost Walks and Carroll University is up to in our second hour, and so much more, including a local boy playing in the state finals in soccer today, and holiday delivery theft the season's already started. So got a story there to share that has a good ending so far, and so much more, including the Carroll Minute here in hour number two on This Week in Waukesha, WAUK 540 AM. Stick around.
A new choice, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, it's not all doom and gloom. Jody Habish Sinekin, Wisconsin's 8th Senate District. She won. Plus, Harvey K. will talk about what happened and what comes next. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Wisconsin Decides 2024, and this is the only place you received election results from across the state live.
And you're responding to our coverage. I just want to thank you for being there for us.
Wisconsin is not people that are sore losers.
Well, no matter what happens, there will be a tomorrow, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Here for you after the election or any time.
Real news and great conversation on 540 WAUK and the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.